Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
Calais Campbell met with the media at mandatory minicamp in Owings Mills.
Why do you keep going? I mean, I know that's a lot of questions for a lot of people, especially a lot of people that have played your position, that ask, why do you keep going?
I get probably asked that almost every day, from a bunch of players, coaches, staff, fans, my family, everybody's just like, why do you keep doing this? And I think the only answer I can really say is that I love the game. I love it. I'm still fairly good at it, and they still want me to play. So it's like, why not? I'm healthy, and I love the game. So, there's definitely a time and a place. One day it's going to get taken from me. I'm going to have to retire. But, even today I was like, man, I get to go out there on the field, put my helmet on. It's a good feeling. And so, I'm going to enjoy it as long as I can. Or at least, I think this year will be a great year for me to enjoy it. And this is a great environment, a top-flight organization. Teammates I have a lot of admiration for, great coaching staff. So, I'm feeling really good about this year.
What was happening in the corner of your mind that you might be back here at some point? I mean, obviously, it was talked about near the end of the season a couple of years ago and then going into this offseason. Was it in your mind?
Yeah. When you think about playing football again, you kind of think about, like, what places would you play again? So when I got, pretty much, since I left, every year in the offseason, there's been some kind of conversation with Eric DaCosta. And, it's been kind of one of those things where it's like, could it happen, And so he tried to trade for me a couple times. And so, I knew it was a possibility if I was to play again, it could be here. And, this year we finally made it work. And I think this is kind of divine. Like, I feel like it's the right time. So I'm happy to be here.
You've probably been asked this before.
I mean, I always tell myself, in this year I feel like, as strongly as ever, that this is probably going to be my last year. I know I said that last year and the year before, but I genuinely mean it at the time. But I always tell myself to play well enough to be able to get a job again if I want to. So if I go out there and perform to the level I want to play, then I'm probably going to have to turn somebody down next year. And that's the ideal scenario. If I can have a chance to play well enough where they want me again next year, and I got to tell them no. And then at that time, we'll decide if there's, if I want to play again or not. But as of right now, I'm playing this year as if it's my last year.
It's not the same faces, building with a whole new, coaching staff. So how does it feel strange to feel like it's comfortable? I know what's going on, but it's also different.
Yeah. But it's variations of the same defense. I've been in quite a few of my years. Coach Minter, he was here with me in 2020. And we had a good rapport, Coach Weaver, I was with him here for 2 years, and then I was with him in Miami, and there's a lot of coaches that, I've seen or I've been with other places, you develop a friendship and a bond with these guys, and so it's not as unfamiliar, but there are a lot of new faces and new places, and you kind of get that, it's exciting of trying to learn something new, something different, because there are little variations to the defense, people's coaching style, and just how things are done nowadays, and so the evolution of that has been kind of fun to kind of keep up with, but it's also a challenge, I think that, the staff is well put together. I really like our coaches so far. And, I think that, with the right guys and the right coaches and, that desire, you get a shot.
What stood out about Jesse that year that you spent with him? I mean, was he a guy that you looked at and maybe thought, hey, this is a guy who could climb up the ladder as a coach as he gets older?
Yeah, for sure. He's a football junkie, somebody who loves the game, passionate about it, and just a brilliant guy. And, him and Coach Mike McDonald, just going through, sitting at eating lunch and, going like team travel and you just kind of like having those casual conversations and I kind of seen both those guys as guys that probably going to get opportunity and then see, Coach McDonald win a Super Bowl. It's like, oh, I knew he was going to be a great coach, but that's pretty cool to see, as a fan of his, obviously, every year I want to try to win one too, but, if you're not in it, you root for the guys that you kind of have admiration for. And Coach Mitchell is the same way, just like another guy that you kind of just, you know, if I wasn't playing here, I'd still root for him because he's such a good guy, and I can see the way he loves the game like I love it. And I'm very grateful that he chose to bring me along with the process, you know, and hopefully we can, you know, help him, you know, one day, you know, it'd be sweet to rose that Lombardi Trophy. But just having the chance to compete for one, you know, and, you know, just, you know, be there when it matters, is, you know, that's going to be enough. You know, when you get there, you just figure out if you have enough that day. But just being able to, you know, be in the fight when it matters.
Cleus, you just mentioned the Super Bowl. I mean, you got to a Super Bowl your rookie year. How tough is it not to think about that, especially at this point in your career, to get back, to finish a job, to have a chance to get a Super Bowl ring before you retire?
You know, I tell myself all the time, like, don't worry about, you know, trying to win a Super Bowl, right? Just have fun playing football. But when you, you know, see a lot of things that fit into the puzzle, you're like, well, you know, there's a chance. But, you know, history tells me, like, you know, it's hard. You know, like, it's not going to be easy for anybody, whoever the person is, whoever the team is that wins it at the end of the year. It's not going to be easy, you know. And so, like, a lot of things have to go right for whatever team that is. You got to be healthy, you know, got to be connected. You got to have things that fall into place. And, you know, and just, you know, the ball bounce your way, you know, good breaks, you know, from the referees and, you know, all the stuff that goes to the game. So it's just like, at the end of the day, you know, you can't. There's a lot of uncontrollables. But the thing you can't control is playing again the right way with a championship mindset. You know, giving great effort. You know, making sure that, you know, the team is connected and accountable and playing the right way. And you know, whatever happens after that, we'll see. We just put our hands in the dirt and go compete. And, you know, hopefully at the end of the year, we're in it when it matters. Yeah, it's been fun. It's kind of like the first day of school, you know, where you're excited to see your, you know, your classmates you haven't seen in like 6 months or whatever, and it's, you know, like your best friends, and it's like, man, you know, but, you know, a little more time in between. But I mean, Matt Abike, you know, Travis Jones, Broderick, I mean, even Kyle Hamilton and, you know, Roquan and, you know, Marlon and, you know, so many of these guys that I, you know, shared the field with that I have so much admiration for, but, like, really met a BK, too. It's just, like, you know, like, seeing him as a rookie and, like, his development for the 3 years we played together and then him turning into, like, the superstar and then, you know, him going through his, you know, the situation he's going through right now and just trying to always be there for him. Like, we always kept in touch. Like, we're, you know, say good friends and, you know, I'm checking on the whole way. And then, like, now it's just, like, you know, being here in the same locker room with him. You know, I mean, it's been a treat. And like, I tell him all the time, like, man, you grown up, you know, like, he's like, man, I look the same. Well, no, you do not. You know, you're, you know, you're a grown man now, you know, got the chest popping out, looking strong as can be, you know, I mean, he's, you know, just, you know, phenomenal football player and all of them really, you know, I mean, seeing, you know, Kyle Hamilton become, you know, probably the best safety in football, you know, and just, you know, seeing him when he was a young buck and, you know, you see the potential and what he could do. And then obviously now he's been doing it for a few years. You know, it's been great to see. Even like Travis, you know, Travis is one of those guys. He's so strong and so gifted. And I was hard on him as a rookie. Like I teased him a lot, you know, but I was hard on him because I could see, I see the potential he had. And to see him kind of, you know, get rewarded, get a contract and, you know, be a premier guy in this league, it's been fun to see.
Working with Anthony Weaver here originally and then both of you in Miami and now coming back as well here in Baltimore again, how have you seen him grow alongside of, you know, him growing a defense as well?
Yeah, you know, I think that, I mean, Weaver's probably my favorite coach. I say that, you know, all the other coaches I had there are great coaches. I love you guys too, you know, but, you know, Weaver's been my favorite coach, you know, And the reason is he's just, I mean, he's really good at connecting with the guys, you know, and we have a great relationship. And I feel like, you know, he will one day as well be a phenomenal head coach when the opportunity comes for him. But, you know, I mean, he's probably the main reason why I came back here, just, you know, having the conversation with him and, you know, being able to, you know, just, you know, try to help him have success so that he can get, you know, where he wants to go, you know, is something that I take great pride in. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I can do my part to help him. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, I mean, he's the first one to say he just wants to win, just wants to be part of something great, you know, and me too, you know, same mindset, same mentality, you know, but he's really helped my career, helped me have longevity, you know, and just believing in me as well, you know, which gives more confidence, right? Because, you know, you get older, you know, every year you're kind of like, can I still do this? You know, like it's the back of your mind, like, all right, can I still go out there and dominate a game, you know? And then when he comes in and he shows that kind of belief and he sees, you know, where I practice and he, you know, kind of like, you know, it's like, man, I'm expecting a lot out of you. You know, you're like, okay, let me rise to the occasion. Let me go give him what I got, you know? And, you know, I think it's helped me have success later in my career. But, you know, my all-time favorite coach.
Cleus, you're 5 games away from setting the passing Jim Marshall and setting the record for all the most games played by an NFL defensive lineman. What would that mean to you?
Well, that is definitely a goal I don't think I've ever, like, had. You know, I didn't think about that as a kid. You know, I just like playing the game of football. you know, it's five games, you know, it seems so light, but it's not. You know, I mean, it's, you know, that's a lot of games you got to play. I mean, there's a lot of guys who play the game of football would love to have played five games in the NFL, you know, my brothers included. I got five brothers. They all have played five games in the NFL. But I say that, you know, to all the guys who ever played the game of football and played the DN position, to be able to go out there and you know, play more games than everybody else is like, wow, it's mind-blowing. You know, it's like, I'm just a kid that love playing football, and I get to keep playing. I'm happy, you know. But it is cool and surreal to be like, oh, wow, I play more games than anybody else. That's a sweet thing. So hopefully, God willing, I can, you know, accomplish that, you know. But I know in this business, like, that's never a guarantee, you know. So, you know, you got to – I'm grateful for every day I get to play football, you know, knowing that at any moment it can be taken away from me. Yeah, part of getting old is, you know, evolving your game and understanding, you know, how to stay relevant and keep an impact. And so it was very humbling, you know, you have to say, okay, I can't play 60, 65 plays anymore. I got to come down and play, you know, 35, 40. You know, that was a humbling experience, but it also led to more production, like having better quality plays, because if I go out there and try to play 45, 50 plays, I'm not going to get a lot of quality plays at the tail end of that, you know. But if I go out there and I mess my reps and I play 35 to 40, they're going to probably all mostly be quality plays, you know. And so it's just having that mentality of, like, all right, you know, listen to your body, being honest with yourself, being self-aware, communicating with the coaches, having a good plan and rotation. I told Coach Weave, I said, I'm training to be able to play 40 plays a game and be able to give you quality 40. And he said, if you can give me 30, I'd be happy, you know. So somewhere in between there, I think we'd be fine.
Oh, you got to wrap it there, guys. Thank you.
Sorry, guys. Take it easy.